Good afternoon.
Hello?
Yes, welcome.
Hi, good afternoon. I just want to make a couple of comments. Firstly, for the person who was asking about why we need to have curfews and why can't people be on the car in their cars on the road, I think people are failing to realize that part of crisis management is reducing the number of other accidents, other shootings, you know, robberies. You have to reduce all of these things because we need to focus our emergency services on the crisis. And so therefore, the curfew has that impact. Less cars on the road, less accidents, right? Secondly, the people who are looking at saying two letters per shopping trip. First of all, I'm thinking that there must have been some thought given behind the groupings that we have now. Clearly, if you have X and Y, how many Barbadians have last names beginning with X and Y? So therefore, there must have been some thought going into the grouping. And if you do two letters, that's 13 groups. It means, therefore, that people will probably shop once every 2 weeks for 3 hours. So this thing is very complex. I think that probably we should have one shopping day per group using the groups that we already have, assuming that the numbers are equally distributed in these groups, and allow people to have a separate day for their shopping. And what we need to do for the supermarket owners, we need to collect some data, because currently what's happening is things are being based on feelings. Even what I'm saying is based on feelings. I don't have any access to the data. But we need data, and we need to approach this scientifically, because if it doesn't work for this week, we need to have the data ready to help us to decide what will work better next week and the week after that. But if everyone just sits and says, you know, I feel, it's not going to work. So let's use this time to gather some data. So the supermarket should be gathering data now. And let us hopefully come up with a better solution based on data for the 3 weeks to come. Because we have no idea how long this lockdown is actually going to last. And if food supply is not a problem, the 40-item limit is disastrous. Because people are going to convert from shopping once every 2 weeks to wanting to be in the supermarket at least once or twice a week. You know, those are just my comments. And you know, I wish us the best. Because that's all I can say right now.
How have you been able to cope with it?
You know, I kind of saw this coming, and, you know, apart from having fresh, you know, vegetables and getting things that are perishable, it hasn't been too bad. I would like to see people stopping the price gouging on the vegetable things. People are selling green bananas for $1. You know, these things, that is, I don't even know what to say about that kind of behavior. But apart from that, I just, you know, I would like people to do something more scientific, and let's not base things on feelings as much. So let's do some data gathering this time around.
Okay.
David,
yes, Andrew.
I agree with that caller. We are gathering the data, which, because government is speaking to us, we would be happy to feedback this sort of information. But with respect to prices, we are finding that the local farmers are really putting up their prices. So obviously, when you come into the stores now, the local produce will cost more than it cost, let's say, 3 weeks ago. Local farmers are really hijacking their prices up there. Nothing we can do about it, but that's what they're doing.
It's not just the supermarket. You know, a lot of people are sending around WhatsApp of where you can get your vegetables, which is a good idea so that you can avoid having to go to the supermarket if you just need perishable items. But, you know, the prices, you know, I mean, are exorbitant. You know, lettuce, $8. What are people supposed to do?
Yeah, well, we are finding that over there, too, with the supply, the local farmers.
Yeah. Well, I hope the, you know, government intervenes.
They will tell you supply and demand.
No, but the thing is, right, here's the thing, right, David. If it were a situation where we had, say, some crisis in terms of shortage of food, and the farmer says to me, listen, normally I make $100 a week. Now that I'm selling less, I'm going to put up my prices so I can still maintain my $100 a week so I can feed my family, et cetera, I would understand. But we don't have a shortage of items. And so, therefore, this price gouging is really just a way to extort the Barbadian population who are desperate right now. And there's a lot of psychology behind that desperation as well. Right, because people feel the situation is very volatile. You know, this week you can shop, you're told you can shop. The next week, they shut it. The next week, it's open, but only these hours and based on your letters. The next 2 weeks, you don't know. And so that kind of volatility, it just works on the psychology of people. People start to feel desperate, and they'll pay whatever they have to because
right, so
they can't eat money.
So you believe, therefore, that there is an argument for trying to hold to the system as it is right now rather than introduce something that appears to be contradictory or helps to create that climate of fear.
Yes, I think that reducing the volatility in terms of changing things every week might help the psychology of the people. But I also agree with Mr. Bino that the supermarkets could probably open before 7. I don't think that we need to have them all the way up to 10 because people need to be off the roads, not necessarily because being on the road at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock at night spreads the virus, but that you don't need car accidents. You don't need people, you know, police needing to stop people to find out what they're doing out there. If people are not out there, the police will be able to direct themselves now to security, which is important in a crisis.
All right.
Also, David, let me make a note on price gouging. Among ourselves, as supermarkets in Barbados and through the Chamber of Commerce, we have given the undertaking that we will not allow ourselves or any among us to engage in price gouging so that the customers in Barbados can feel comfortable that what they are paying for is the what they're being charged is the fair price based on what items are costing us. So that when they come into our supermarkets now and they see that the local vegetables are costing some 50% more than they were costing some 3 weeks ago, it is not our fault. This is the price that we're getting from the farmers and we pass it on. But among ourselves, we have given the public of Barbados the undertaking that there will be no price gouging in our stores. And this was through the Chamber of Commerce. We all met and agreed on that.
Mr. Bino, you spoke about the prices coming from the local farmers, but China's economy shrank for the first time in decades, contracted by 6.8%
right.
The first quarter this year.
Right.
This also has implications for supply lines because a number of the factories and stuff had to stop operating. And the whole global economy is severely impacted.
Right.
One can anticipate, therefore, that imported items are likely to be to increase in price. And I don't know to what extent
likely.
You've been assessing this.
Very likely. Most of our food comes out of the U.S. And out of U.K. now we have a line and other stores have got lines out of U.K. So we are...
Many things are made in China, too.
Well, yes. I mean, some food stuff made in China. Are you talking food or are you talking generally?
Food and generally. There's some.
Right.
To what extent does that play into the increase as well?
Yes. So that somewhere down the line, we will now have imported increased prices from the suppliers. So we have to expect that there will be an increase in prices at some point in time. And that's why I... earlier in the program, spoke about what structural adjustments need to be made within the Caribbean and also worldwide with respect to the cost of living. I made the point that someone somewhere must say that the cost of living must drop. And I am saying by 50%. Therefore, structurally, across all economies, we have to look to see what are the inputs that make up the cost of living and make some big decisions about it globally. It has to be done globally. Otherwise, people would not be able to live. So these are the kind of challenges that our government, Caribbean government, and world government have now got to battle with. Otherwise, we're going to have very hungry people, very disgruntled people, very sick people, and perhaps more dead people.
Okay. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Mr. Bino and Mr. Ellis, I want to ask a question. Mr. Bino could probably be the better one to indicate if this idea is a good idea or not. I was thinking that what can be done is that an appointment system can be developed whereby, okay, you know that large supermarkets, they say, can hold 75 people, right? So, for instance, Carlton and Aero, Emerald City, from 8 till 8:45, you got appointments to say, so you know you have 75 spaces, right? And persons can call and book their appointment, like how you do it when you go to a hairdresser, nail salon, or something. You book your appointment, and then you come, you do your, you're given either half an hour or 45 minutes to do your shopping. So you got your grocery list, and you know what you have to get. You come to the supermarket, you get your stuff, and then you make way for the persons who come in from 9:45 to 10:30, or from 9:30 to 10 o'clock, right? Whereby, you know, you have X amount of people per day and X amount of people per time. So you don't have the long waits outside. And then you can also couple that with persons doing the online or calling in orders or whatever and placing the orders and or delivery system or whatever so that you are eliminating, you're trying to get out as much people as possible on a day-to-day basis without having the amount of people lining up outside and then people can't say that they may get in today. So if you make your appointment for Friday, you know, Friday at 10 o'clock, you're supposed to be at a supermarket as if you was going to go to the hospital for an appointment or you go to the hairdresser for an appointment. Can that be a system that can work?
Well, I would not agree to an appointment system at all. That is going to throw up its own problem. Mm-hmm. For instance, 40 appointments will get canceled. So you got an empty supermarket. I keep coming back to the point that there's nothing wrong with the system. A few kinks in it, which can be ironed out. So what we are attempting, or what we are looking at now, we're looking at the problem, but these problems can be ironed out.
I have this one here for you, Mr. Bino. This person says, I'm a concerned supermarket employee. We are not considered an essential worker, she says. But we are coming to work to ensure that citizens of Barbados have food on their tables. We therefore have no time for ourselves or our families. Bills have to be paid. At what time can we leave work and go to a gas station or banking institution to conduct business? When the lines are long and even longer daily, how are we not essential workers of this nation? We applaud the nurses, doctors, and anyone from the medical society, but we frown and look down upon the grocery store workers and gas stations and people who work in bakeries. How do you see that? Are they saying?
Well, fine. We therefore need to examine the society for too long. Certain categories of workers have been looked down upon. So, all of us are essential workers. The garbage collectors are essential workers. What it means is now gives us time to reassess the way that we look at ourselves and we look at other people. So I am not going to, beat that point, except to say that, yes, we need to reassess the way that we see each of ourselves functioning and performing within this community, and to recognize that we are all interlocked.
So to the question posed, so how does the worker in the supermarket get time to go and do business?
Because that is addressed within your roster. So that we roster people for 40 hours a week, which is the norm. We would have to recognize that such persons, in other words, should this curfew continue, we then have to organize our staff in such a way that they also get their time to go and do their banking, go to the dentist, to the hospital, to the pharmacy, etc. So yes, that has to be on the cards as to how we reorganize our staff to be able to do the things that they also need to do at home.
This other person says, I live overseas. My father, who is a senior, was explaining to me that when he goes to the supermarket, he's required by that supermarket to spend a minimum amount of money if he's using his pension check to pay for the groceries. Is this practice lawful? What does your guest have to say about it?
Well, let's first understand that we are not a bank. Therefore, we extend a courtesy to you. If you bring your check to spend, we have to insist on a minimum spend. We are not a bank, so we just cannot change your check. But we do insist on a minimum spend. If you come and you are a customer, then we insist that you spend X amount and we give you back the change.
On the question of the increase in prices from the people in the agricultural sector, the farmers, this person says, to be fair to the farmers, we need to take into consideration that, one, we are in a terrible drought, and also they have lost so much produce through spoilage.
Fine. Well, therefore, they've explained their situation to the customer. So the customer now has to understand that the prices have gone up for certain reasons, so that they do not blame the supermarket.
Let's take another call. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, David.
Yes, welcome.
How are you? And thank you. I am here examining the shopping schedule, and there's a lot of imbalances in it. Say, on Wednesday, you got four letters, C, D, E, F. That's not too bad. On Monday, you got A and B. But when you come down by Saturday, you got S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. That is overloading. I heard a caller said earlier,
how many people you would know with names begin with Z?
Or X. Come off it, man. Come off it. But still, come off it. One or two in any line that got 300 people.
You a fella named Zebronki or something.
I don't know. But what I'm saying, I would go with the lettering for the first, like, A and B, the first 3 hours in the supermarket. And let me say before you say anything, I think the supermarket show up at 7 o'clock. So A and B goes from 7 to 8, or 7 to 9, whatever. Maybe C, D goes next street, and you keep going like this. This way, if I know my letter is H, and H is here 3 o'clock in the evening, I don't leave home at 6 o'clock in the morning to go in a long line. I leave home at 2 o'clock to go for my lettering that starts at 3. You with me?
I'm listening.
But you understand what I'm saying?
I know one thing. All these ideas that you come with, the minute you apply them, there's somebody else who's going to fly up and say, look, that ain't working for me.
But the thing is,
because at the end of the day, you got to be factoring in the physical distancing of people.
It's a discipline you have to work with as well. Our people have got to be more disciplined.
But you heard the lady who said, look, if you keep changing this thing, you add to the panic. You add the perception that something is wrong.
This is why we got to use our discipline. No, I haven't been at the supermarket, I don't think, yet for the month, because the last time we stuck up, okay, I don't want to use my own situation because I may be two in a family, you may be 10 in a family. You with me? So what would apply for me, certainly would apply for you. But still, even at 10 in a family, if you're accustomed using four slices of bread on morning, use two. We got to discipline ourselves in this whole situation. It's all to do with discipline and not me getting as much as I want. What about the other person? But I would go, I say, open to Mars at 7 in the morning, close them at 5.
All right.
So you agree, have a good one.
You agree with Mr.
Bino's
proposal?
100%.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's take another call. Hello?
Hello.
Yes. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ms. David and Mr. Bino, I wanted to make this contribution to the discussion, and that my contribution is that unless we knew that there are equal amounts of persons on each letter, it would not make sense to have any of these fancy full ideas of having two per session or one per hour or whatever, because every letter will have a different number of persons. I think government has made the right stance in taking those names, A and B, together, for example, because, as the Prime Minister said, Aline and Bradford are two of the most popular names of Barbados. Whereas, as you pointed out, we have very few X's and Z's and so on. But I would like to suggest that instead of opening for 1 hour earlier only, that we did it 1 hour earlier in the morning and would go 1 hour later in the afternoon. So we go from 7 to 6. The supermarket persons will still have 2 hours in which to get home. And it would help a great deal with taking the pressure off the vulnerable people. And secondly, if we limit the shopping time by having color-coded cards, you put a color-coded sticker on each card as they came in, those ones with a particular color when they come in the morning, first set will have 45 minutes. And if you start with blue, for example, after 45 minutes, you don't expect to see any more blue stickers out there. The cards will now have one of pink or green or whatever. So that we limit people to the amount of time they can spend on the floor. 45 minutes should be adequate for everybody. And that way we keep the lines moving. But I would say an extra 2 hours would make the problem a lot less severe.
All right. Thank you very much. Clarify something for me, Mr. Bino. The supermarkets are considered essential services, right?
Yes, we are.
Right. The people who work in the supermarkets, though, are they treated as such officially? In other words, do they have passes and all of that?
Yes. We have passes, so we come to work with our passes. But it's like, how are we treated away from the stores so that I've heard of one of our staff who went to a gas station, and the gas attendant said, "Well, you're not accepting that you're essential service." So it's like, how are people treated? How are they treated?
Well, the government issues people with these passes that are sent to your cell phone, and you're supposed to walk with your ID.
Right.
So if you have that combination, doesn't that verify whether you're classified as an essential worker in the circumstances?
Not necessarily, because there are other people outside of the essential services who've also got the pass.
Okay.
You see?
But I thought that the pass was for people who were considered essential.
But there are other people outside of quote-unquote essential who've got passes.
Oh,
so I don't think you can classify it strictly like that.
Okay.
It's like, where do you work? If you're a nurse, you're essential. If you're a supermarket worker, then you ought to be given the same privilege to say, yes, you're essential.
All right, let's take another call. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Hello, yes. Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Hi, yes. I just wanted to make a comment about what Andrew was talking about. To be honest, I don't really agree with the lettering at all. And I'll tell you why. because sometimes we focus on the wrong issue. The issue is social distancing. It doesn't matter what day you come or which day you go or whatever. The issue is about social distancing and practicing good health standards. We, unfortunately, in the Caribbean, always do things the wrong way. In that, if people do something wrong, we lock down the whole system for the other 98 as well. And what took place at the supermarket, I could tell you, was ridiculous, but only at a few. So what did we do? We turned around and locked down all. As far as I'm concerned, we're quite capable and more than intelligent enough to practice social distancing without being treated like children. I mean, the simple things like selling of alcohol, what madness is that? Why is that even on the radar? Why should you restrict what a gas station can sell? Why? The people are at the gas station anyway. The issue has nothing to do with what they're buying. It has to do with social distancing and health practices. But once again, everything in the Caribbean is like this. We have to penalize everybody for the bad behavior of a few. And this is the main problem we have. And until we get over that, it's never going to change. And one final point, because I know Andrew would back me up on this. For decades, the retailers in Barbados have been asking to review the Shop Act so that we could pack our stores during the night, so that our employees, they will have employees that work in shifts to pack stores at night. If the supermarkets were allowed to do that now, all the online shopping could be packed and be ready for shipment the next morning. But they're not allowed to do that. I don't know if Andrew brought it up. Maybe.
Yes, Derek, I did bring it up. So we are right. Saying we blame.
Yes. And I mean, until we get to grips with what the real issue is, we're going to keep people talking about all kinds of nonsense. The supermarkets should allow anybody to come in and just practice social distancing. It doesn't matter which day or what they're buying. If you want to restrict them in terms of hoarding, I get that. I totally get that. But really, are you really going to treat us like children? You don't think we're capable of understanding what social distance is and practicing safe thing is? It's crazy, David. I'm really sorry. And I find all of this just another example of where we... And listen, I'm not blaming the government. This is a societal thing. It's a cultural issue that we have, where we have to continue to penalize everyone for the bad behavior of a few. Sorry to say it three times, but I really want to get this point across.
All right. Thank you very much. Dr. Brastad?
Okay.
You wanted to comment, Andrew?
On Derek's point, well, yes, he agrees with me that we should be packing shelves at night and employing people to do the orders and so on during the night. I think, though, Derek, that we're so far gone with the current alphabetical system that we could give it a chance. But in other words, if we hadn't instituted it, well, I could have seen your point. Having instituted it, I think we should give it a chance.
Hello? Are you still?
Hello?
Yes. Good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, welcome.
Yeah, thank you so much, David. Listen, however you look at this, these implementations, it's chaos. They were not well thought out. And what we should have done in the first place would be to man our ports of entry months ago, check anybody and if they have any sort of illness that is close to the virus, you put them aside to give them a second test to just find out if it was just a normal illness or whatever, and we would not be here. We waited until the Trump administration made the decision for us to jump. One minister is alleged to have said, let the people come in and spend money with regards to the ships. We let in the six Chinese. Trinidad would not accept their own natives, but we accepted them. All of those are unnecessary risk. But the burden now has been thrown on the poor people of this nation. They are gouged to death. $30 chickens, corned beef $6.95,
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
If you're talking about price gouging,
mm-hmm.
you certainly do not mean the supermarkets who are members of the Chamber of Commerce.
I am talking about the village shops.
Oh, well, be careful.
Who we have been thrown into their hands, knowing that these people, they don't source, they don't have enough capital to get quantity discount deals or nothing like that. But throw the poor people in these people's hands. Then they don't have their income. The NIS people didn't get the checks, NCC people didn't get paid for 2 weeks, and you can go down the line with all these disadvantages that have impacted negatively on the poor people. I also believe, like your last caller, that let the people come and shop. You think we don't have intelligence? We are smart. We watch the news. We know what's going on. We don't want no newbie politician to come and tell us how to live our lives. That's population control, and it can go from there to something else. You don't know what have got in their minds. We've got to defend our freedom of movement. You can't let these people come and tell, oh, you cannot come at this time, or you can't shop at this time, or you have to shop at this place, and everything's shut down. They are killing this nation.
Well, I believe President Trump is saying the same thing. That's why he wants to reopen America. He feels that it is killing America as well.
But listen, he has his own ambitions.
No, let's not worry about his ambitions. Let's deal with your position that the approach is killing the nation, it is killing business, and he's saying the same thing. There's the other side of that coin that says COVID is killing people. People in New York, Bajans in New York, the 20-odd that have died so far, and those who continue, the others that are coming after them.
True.
It is evident that it is real. So.
Oh, yes, it is.
So the choice is between what you see as economic health and public health.
Look, this is life and death situation regardless. You understand? It is as serious as that. Listen, I am in what you call a high-risk category because I'm over 65 years old, right? And let me tell you something. I changed my shopping day from Friday to Tuesday, and this is 2 months ago. You understand? When I go in and I stand up to go to cashier, now, at that time, I can choose the cashier I want to go to because it's not busy. My hand sanitizers and all the other things I had in my house all along. I didn't have to rush and buy this and rush and overstock that. You understand? But
because you anticipated this.
No, because I'm at high risk.
Yes, and you anticipated it.
Right?
And you anticipated it. There are a lot of people, let me tell you, there are a lot of people who did not anticipate it. And people at all levels in society have felt that it was blown out of proportion, that it wasn't anything to worry about, that it would never get to this stage.
No, I wouldn't go there.
Uh-uh. You weren't there, but others were.
I know. Even the President of the United States, at one point, he was at that stage. Look, at night, for months, first of all, this virus was affecting China since November. It has now been established. America and other parts of the world discovered on the 1st of December that they had this virus locating. The Chinese made a move where they killed tens of thousands of pigs as to sort of throw us off, you know, a distraction. But really and truly now the American government is convinced that this virus was boosted in China.
I tell you, you listen to Trump too much.
I'm the most anti-Trump person.
I hear the emerging discussion about who was responsible. We'll deal with that another day. Thank you very much.
Let me make one more final point before you leave.
Yes.
No, I sat in my veranda for months and watched the amount of airplanes going about when this virus and we weren't hit yet. I said, do these people realize that we are a tourist destination and we have to check this at some point? You understand? And they waited too late. The cat was already out of the bag when they started. You understand?
All right.
That is all it was.
All right. Thank you very much.
Hello.
Yes, good afternoon. Good afternoon.
I'm a first-time caller.
A pleasure to have you.
Yes.
What prompts you to call?
Because I'm so passionate about COVID-19. There's so many things that I have seen and experienced during the COVID-19 period that I really think, you know, it needs mentioning.
Please do.
As a citizen, I had experience shopping during the new measures, and the times need to be readjusted in terms of, like, the allotted time. Right now, we're allowed 8-11. 8-11 is too short because, for one, I had left home after 5 to get my Cherish. When I get my Cherish after 6, the line is already...
Yeah, but we've established that throughout the program already, that the situation is untenable
as it is. It just needs reviewing.
Yeah.
I want to thank the government for the initiative because everybody needs to come together and have a level head and, you know, and effective communication needs to be right across the board, right across the sector. What they could probably do, Mr. Bino might probably agree, I might have people that used to work in supermarkets before, you could probably call in those people and ask them to assist, being like they would have the experience in terms of, like, packing shelves and the stock. They'll be able to, you know, to do things in a more effective way because time is of the essence. There's so much that I have to offer, but I don't rob somebody else of their time.
Yeah.
We want to maintain the level of staff that we have. So, yes, we would need to get the permission to park at night.
And Mr. Ellis...
Yeah, but let me ask you this question. You see no scope for an expansion in staff given demand?
No, there's no scope for expansion in staff,
okay.
Really. We just utilize the existing staff.
Yeah, but you may need more because
right now the supermarket is a labor intensive place.
Right.
With the hours contracted, we can then use the staff to fill those hours at night and pack the shelves at night.
You don't see any capacity to reduce that labor-intensive component and to use technology to a greater degree? What are the limitations on that?
Yes, that is in the long term. But we're dealing with the current. But in the long term, yes, the whole system will have to change in the long term.
Okay, well, somebody may want to follow up on that. Let me get another call. Thank you very much, ma'am. Down to brass tacks. Turn your radio off, please, because it's feeding back to us. Hello. Let's take another caller then. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hi, Mr. Ellis.
Hi.
Just like the lady before, I'm a first-time caller.
Okay.
I've been listening to the program quite intently, so I just wanted to make a couple comments.
Sure.
The first thing is this. What people seem to be forgetting is the basic way in which the virus is spread. If there is no contact, there is no spread. If there is contact, the possibility of spreading the virus is there. Now, we just had a case in Jamaica in a call center where 31 people came down with the virus. So I believe that the government is doing the right thing. I believe people are talking about extending the hours to the supermarket, but the reality is before, when the supermarkets were operating as normal, there were still long lines and long lines and long lines. Government has to balance the contact aspect in relation to the wants to the country. So we have to realize that this is not normal and some things you just wouldn't get. Some pains you would have to take. But the reality is that if it's a free-for-all where you just open like normal, you extend your supermarket hours, you don't go with the alphabetical thing, so the police is in no position to stop anybody on the road to ask them why they're on the road. So there must be some system. Now, you think the one that is in place now with the alphabet, because if my surname begins with S and on a given day the police stop me and I'm not supposed to be on the road, then they can take action against me. I know they don't want to prosecute people, but they have the right to tell me get off the road. If it's a free-for-all where you anybody goes on any day and the police stop me on the road, I could be going by a friend. I could say going to the supermarket. Then they can't do me anything. I just have to be off the road by 6. So what this country really needs to do is to focus on how we can do the deliveries for people in a more timely manner, which is not, which will not carry the same contact as if you let a million people into the supermarket on a given day, because the supermarket workers, they are at risk as well. That is something that we like, we seem to be forgetting. They are at risk as well. So the thing is, to go the electronic route, try to put things in place, and it's not that difficult to do. Try to put things in place to make sure that people can order. I ordered some stuff, and I got some today, got some yesterday. This is 3 weeks now, I have not left my house. And not, I'm not saying that everybody can do that, but more people need to try to stay off the road instead of trying to call on government to open places so they can actually get on the road to spread the virus. Because no contact means no transmission. And really, that's as simple as it is for me. So
okay.
That's my comment.
Thank you very much.
Hold on.
Let's take another call. Good afternoon. Hello? It's 1:53, and of course we finish the program at 2 o'clock. Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. The first time I ever call up on the program, my suggestion is you reduce the letters and your daily numbers. If it is that you got 200 people going to market on average per day, you pick X amount of numbers. So that way people know directly that if you got 200 people now, they come up with 200 people on the numbers, the rest know directly they got to go home, they go to the bank or wherever in this last space of time. If you got other, you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you got other people leave back now, you can also take names there. Instead, you can take 20 names, 30 names, all the kids maybe. Tomorrow, you could come back. When you come back tomorrow, they split the letters, it's different. You got 3 people in the market, you can another 1 or 2. But these people are back for tomorrow. That way, you could bring it down a kind of way. That's my suggestion.
Thank you very much. Somebody else has said that we also need to look at food preservation. That you buy up all the food and a lot of it, especially the perishables, will spoil. And there's a need to put a little bit more emphasis on that. But you know, Andrew Bino, one of the things that has come back into vogue in Barbados in the curfew period, with all the talk that we are putting down about food, is something called supper. You know...
Well, people are home now all day. And they're now eating at night. Now, what it is, I mean, previously they would eat some fast food.
Correct.
But now they're preparing and having, you know, a nice meal at night.
And, you know, it takes you back to childhood now.
Yes, right. So it's these good habits that are returning to the Barbadian household. So out of all of this, we find that good things are also happening.
Well, that's going to be an interesting part of what we look forward to in the future, to see how certain of our habits are likely to change. Certainly, there are a lot of Barbadians who really have moved away from the kitchen because it's easier for them to go and buy food
right
somewhere rather than have to deal with cooking. And
that's one of the reasons we are also selling more food. People are now cooking more than they used to cook before.
So what other changes do you see? What is striking you right now in terms of the behavior?
Well, I believe that when this is all over, people will now have more time for leisure, more time to go about their business in less of a rush. So it's going to affect our social habit and our demeanor in that regard as well. I think that people are also now more patient. Once upon a time, there would have been a lot of rage on the roads and so on. I think it's going to have that kind of sobering effect on our lives.
Well, one thing is sure. Last year, this time, how many murders we had? We had quite a number. By this I do recall that because I was tracking it at the time.
Right.
I believe we would have had no less than 15 by now. That is not the case. And even before COVID, there was a difference.
That's right.
And with the state of emergency and stuff, we haven't had any major talk about killings or anything like that. So that's a positive.
That's right. People are more tolerant.
Well, perhaps they're off the road. But we have had some one or two things on social media about people getting up to mischief. But in the main, let us recognize that Barbadians, for all the concern that has been expressed about the lines and all of that, Andrew Bino, people have been behaving themselves in the lines. We haven't been hearing about people fighting.
But before you allow me to leave,
David,
you know, from time to time, I also indulge in other pursuits, which is one of my pastimes, or used to be. So please allow me to read this poem.
Yes.
It is called Time is Life. Some pecuniary zealot many years ago said, "Time is money." Thereafter, the whole world raced away in that direction, and life has been shortchanged ever since. From Carlson Supermarket, we urge you to restore the beauty of life to time. Take time to do it well. Time to be nice to people, time to admire your work, and time to chew your food is time well spent. Tell that pecuniary zealot, time is the opportunity to do it well. Time is life. And this is taken from my anthology, and these poems were originally read by Alfred Pragnell, Alison Leacock, and yours truly, Andrew Bino.
All right.
I would like to leave you with that.
Since you have left me with that, let me be mischievous enough and ask you to respond to the suggestion that you should also recognize in the poem that time is cheaper prices.
Price is relative.
All right. Thank you very much, Andrew Bino. For spending the program, the entire program with us. We didn't plan it that way, but I mean, we are very, very thankful that you were able to share so much time with us, and I'm sure it has made it an interesting program for the many people who participated. There were several of you. We anticipated that would happen because we've been getting a lot of feedback about from people who want to have their say on this program. A special thanks, especially so, to the people who are the so-called regulars who took a back seat today and allowed you to get a chance to have your say. Ronnie Clark, thanks also for supporting us in today's edition of Down to Brass Tacks. I'm David Ellis. Do have a great afternoon and do be safe.